This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman in studio. We'll have reports from Don Wick and Tyler Donaldson. They are at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, Texas. And we'll start there. Commodity Classic is in its final hours for 2026. Plans already coming together for next year's show. In this update from San Antonio, Don Wick has insight into the very first Commodity Classic.
Jamie, our Commodity Classic coverage made possible by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Durastack Trait Technologies, Nutrien Ag Solutions, and Winfield United. Commodity Classic celebrating an important milestone this year. It's been 30 years since the very first Commodity Classic in Phoenix. Fairmount, North Dakota farmer Wally Hardy had an integral role in the creation of this huge event.
I was vice president of the National Corn Growers, and I guess 31 years ago, and we thought, hey, we should get together with soybean growers and see what happens. And we got together, and it's amazing how this show has grown over the 30 years.
To bring together two major farm groups for a joint convention was a big undertaking.
You know, it took a little negotiation. I think at that time we had the Corn Classic, and then it was the Soybean Expo. So the soybeans had to give a little bit. We had to find a name that would work, you know, and I think Commodity Classic worked, you know, for both of us. And we really, at the time, we thought it would just be a corn soybean show. We really didn't think it would grow to wheat and sorghum and now the farm equipment manufacturers. So it really has expanded far beyond our vision.
Again, Commodity Classic celebrating 30 years. Our Commodity Classic coverage made possible by Gowan USA, Minnesota Soybean Growers Association, and Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council. From San Antonio, I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
Yesterday, USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins spoke at Commodity Classic, and following the announcement of the One Farmer, One File initiative, Secretary Rollins laid out her updated five key policy priorities.
First, we will continue to deregulate and get the government off of your back. We are going to reform the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA. USDA is rescinding seven agency-specific regulations and is issuing one set of department-wide NEPA regulations, resulting in a 66% decrease in burdensome regulations on you, our farmers, and our ranchers. Also, the EPA is clarifying once and for all the Waters of the U.S. rule, or WOTUS, to conform and ensure that the historic Sackett versus EPA SCOTUS decision is giving the relief and getting government off the back of our farmers and ranchers.
Expanded export markets and trade partners will also be a focus going forward.
Just this month, USDA led an agribusiness trade mission to Indonesia, specifically Jakarta, which is a huge new potential market, as is so much of Southeast Asia. In the coming months, we will advocate on behalf of you, our American farmers, in the Philippines, in Manila, in Turkey, in Istanbul, in Australia, in New Zealand, in Saudi Arabia, and in Vietnam. And y'all, that's just in the next few months. We are not sleeping in this administration. We have to open up these new markets if we're going to have a prosperous future for our agriculture community.
Other priorities announced by Secretary Rollins include the promise to lower input costs, expand domestic markets for biofuels, and strengthen the farm safety net. National Wheat Foundation had hosted their annual contest winner's dinner at Commodity Classic in San Antonio. The Northern Plains were well represented with seven national winners from North Dakota, one from Minnesota. Botno, North Dakota farmer Carissa Berg was the winner of the spring wheat dryland category.
The variety that we grew this year was Ballistic, which is a Dynagrow wheat variety. The bushel we got this year was 110.
Foundation Executive Director Ann Osborne says the awards dinner was packed with celebration and good conversation.
Thanks. It was a good time. We had almost every chair was filled, and people had fun. Farmers like talking to each other and getting the tips from all across the country of what these high-yield, high-quality growers are doing. So it was super fun.
The National Association of Wheat Growers has a new officer team. The group was welcomed at Commodity Classic in San Antonio and will serve one-year terms leading the organization's advocacy for U.S. wheat producers. Jamie Kress of Idaho is the new president. Nathan Keene of Montana is vice president. Chris Tanner, treasurer. Austin Anderson of Colorado is secretary. Pat Clements of Kentucky moves into the role of past president. NOG CEO Sam Kiefer says the leadership team brings strong experience and a shared commitment to advancing policies that support wheat growers and rural communities nationwide. Valley City, North Dakota farmer Monty Peterson will be leaving San Antonio in Commodity Classic with the American Soybean Association Distinguished Leadership Award. Peterson served on the ASA board for 9 years and chaired the U.S. Soybean Export Council. Peterson says the USEC experience was definitely an eye-opening experience.
You know, first and foremost, it enlightened me more on international trade than I ever thought that I would learn in my lifetime. But it also taught me that the value of relationships is second to none. And the reason that we are successful with exporting soybeans across the world is because of the relationships that we have built over time. Those relationships continue to be needed. We need to continue to nurture those relationships.
Brazil is seeing a split pattern. According to World Weather Incorporated, northern growing areas are picking up steady rain with totals over 2 inches through early next week, keeping soil moisture favorable for crop development and long-term safrinha corn prospects. But central and southern Brazil along Paraguay stay much drier. Soil moisture is already marginal to short in key safrinha areas, and without meaningful rain before March 7th, crop stress could increase. In Argentina, dryness remaining a concern in north central and eastern regions where soil moisture is short and crop stress is building. Some beneficial rain is expected midweek. However, southeast Argentina may miss out on significant moisture, meaning any short-term improvement could fade quickly as warmer temperatures return. This is the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Corn Congress continuing today at the Commodity Classic in San Antonio. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has this report.
Coverage of the 2026 Commodity Classic is sponsored by the Gowan Company, Minnesota Soybean Growers Association, and the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council. There's much work being done at this year's Commodity Classic by delegates and industry reps to help farmers get their voices heard. Gwinner, North Dakota farmer and North Dakota Corn Growers Association board member Adam Ladwig says that's been their focus at Corn Congress.
So a big part of what we were doing here is Corn Congress. That's been probably half our time here is talking about different policies and new policies that we want to implement into there. So a lot of technology, drone technology has been brought up a lot. Then obviously your trade and tariff talk. So then also the cool thing in the National Corn Growers booth here that we're staring at right now, there's actually an E98 tractor that partially came out of the biofuels action team for National Corn Growers. So a lot of trade talk, though, is probably one of the biggest things here, though.
Ladwig, who is also a member of the National Corn Growers Production and Sustainability Action Team, says the updated 45Z is still being digested.
The 45Z, they just came out with a new implementation process, and we're still trying to figure out and what that actually means. So until we actually know, I'm not 100% sure on what it states, and I know, you know, a lot of the ethanol plants are trying to figure it out as well, because it seems like every time they add something new or make a change, it takes a couple weeks to try to figure out what their implementation process is going to be.
Ladwig says their prime goal at the Commodity Classic this year is getting E15 across the finish line.
One of the big pushes that we also had in our Corn Congress meetings was the call to action for E15. So if you can get a hold of your congressman or woman to push E15 across the finish line, it seems we've been working on this for years now, obviously, but it's just one of those tools in the toolbox that, you know, that would help us get this over the finish line, is really start to keep getting in front of these people like we have been in the past.
Coverage of the 2026 Commodity Classic is sponsored by Winfield United, Nutrien Ag Solutions, and Syngenta Seed. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Coming to you from Commodity Classic, Ron Calhoun with us, Senior Portfolio Manager with Loveland Products. We see a lot of new innovations here, a lot of excitement about what's happening for these growers. They get into a new growing season. Talk to me from really a biostimulant category. What does that mean? What should we be thinking about?
Yeah, so at Loveland Products, we categorize our biosolutions portfolio with biostimulants being a part of that, right? And so those would be non-fertilizer inputs that could be applied alongside your fertilizer as a way to maybe supplement how the soil functions, how the microbial community functions, maybe stimulate something in the plant, maybe either in the root system or the plant. Again, kind of adjacent to fertility, but not NPK.
So what would you say would be the adoption rate to something like that?
Well, you know, I know it's popular and it's a term that you're hearing a lot about these days for Loveland. I mean, we've been in this space for probably more than 25 years, probably have biostimulants included in the better part of about half of our plant nutrition products. So for us, a product maybe people heard about would be Titan XC, which is a dry fertilizer enhancement that goes on potash and MAP-DAP and MEZ. And so it's helping to increase the efficiency of those things. So it's a dry fertilizer coating that gets put on at retail and then go out and provide that benefit to the grower to improve nutrient use efficiency. So that's another thing as we think about these things that are kind of adjacent to nutrition, but are helping that nutrition work better, help the vigor of the plant, that sort of thing.
Certainly everybody's looking at ROI right now with the economy the way it is, and fertility is a big part of that discussion. How does that really tell that story?
Yeah, so, I mean, just, you know, stick with that example just for a minute. I might expect to get 15 to 30% of my MAP to be available in that first year release. That's not very much of what I spent money on, right? And so with a product like Titan, to be able to come in and help increase that first year release right off the hop, you're immediately getting a return on that. Or if you look at like a nitrogen, your nitrogen budget and what you're putting in, that's a huge expense in your overall program. How can we make every dollar that you're putting on go a little bit farther, get more out of each of those pounds of nutrient?
Ooh. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I think that it's still an exciting time. This idea of having more expected out of us so that we can provide, we don't want to do this for 1 year. We want to do this year after year. And so to be able to partner with a grower and do something that's meaningful for them is what keeps me coming back day after day.
That's Ron Calhoun, Portfolio Manager with Loveland Products. This Commodity Classic update made possible by Nutrien Ag Solutions. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. On Fridays, we find out about the cover story on this week's Ag Week. Jenny Schlecht from Ag Week joining us now. Jenny, what's on the cover this week?
On this week's Ag Week cover, Emily Beal and I are catching up on what's happening with over-the-top dicamba. The herbicide products have been on a twisty road since they were approved for use less than a decade ago in dicamba-resistant soybeans and cotton. There were a lot of complaints about off-target drift and damage from dicamba basically moving to unintended places. There have been multiple lawsuits, a lot of back and forth between courts and the EPA, and products could not be used during the 2025 growing season after a federal court ordered the EPA in 2024 to vacate the product labels. The EPA worked to develop new labels that the agency believes will meet the requirements set by the court for use of the products. The new registrations for three over-the-top dicamba products were announced on February 6th. The new requirements have some new restrictions, including the volume that can be used and some new ways of dealing with things like runoff. Instead of day cutoffs for use, there are temperature cutoffs. And certainly anyone who intends to use these products should look at training programs and making sure they know what they need to do. But 2 weeks after EPA announced the new registrations, groups that filed the lawsuit that led to the federal court ordering EPA to vacate their earlier labels did appeal their earlier case to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The appeal asks that the court order EPA to vacate these new registrations. So certainly this story is far from over, and farmers should remain aware of what's happening.
Thanks, Jenny. We'll look forward to reading it in this week's Ag Week. Checking on the markets right now, we're looking at Minneapolis wheat in May is up 16 now at 614.5. We got May Chicago up 21.25 at 595.75. And the March Kansas City's up 20 at 571.5. March corn is up 5.75 now at 439. We have March soybeans up 12 at 1159.75. May's up a dime at 1173.5. And the livestock numbers, April live cattle down 470, 232.20. The March feeders down 650 at 355.15. And we have April lean hogs now up 20 cents at 95.92. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 630 points, 48,868. This is the Red River Farm Network.